And now your speaker, Ron Martin.
The Word of God is something that is strong and powerful, and it is something that will help us. The first place that I'd like us to start this morning is in the first chapter of the book of John. In the 29th verse of John chapter 1, I want you to notice what John, the one who baptized, said. As he saw Jesus, he declared, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Again, a little later, you have John saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, in this great chapter of 1 John, you see one of the most amazing stories about a brother and about his concern for another brother whenever he heard about Christ. Notice with me at verse 40 in John chapter 1. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now let's stop right there at that point. Notice Andrew had followed after John. He had heard John speak, "Behold the Lamb of God." He followed after Jesus. During that day, he talked with Jesus. And as he left Jesus, he went first and found his own brother, Simon. And notice the message that it is in his heart. The message is, "We have found the Christ. We have found the Anointed One of God." He brought him to Christ. And Christ said of him, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. I want you to notice now how Peter was brought to Christ. Notice first there was that great willingness of his own brother to bring his brother Simon Peter to Christ. In the Lord's church today, we need more people who are just like Andrew. We have heard about Christ. We believe truly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And as we believe this, in our hearts must be that overflowing to go find our brother, our sister, our cousin, our kinfolk, our neighbors, and bring them to Christ. Now, in our Bibles, let's turn over to Luke chapter 5. Here we see an amazing story about Simon Peter. And as you're turning there, I want to give you a brief outline of our lesson today. Number one, we have already pointed out about how Simon Peter was brought to Christ. But as we study about Simon Peter in our study of God's Word this morning, I want you to see this man who had strengths, and this man who had weaknesses. In all of our lives, we can see strengths and weaknesses. Here Simon Peter is upon the Sea of Galilee. Luke calls it the Sea of Gennesaret. And the master teacher left off his teaching of the multitudes, and he told those in the ships, notice in verse 4, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Now notice what Simon is saying here. Jesus gets into his ship. He says to Simon, "You go launch out into the deep." You go out into the deep. Here it is in the day. Normally, all fishing was done at night. Just think how it is in the daytime. The sun comes down and reflects upon that water, and it's extremely hard to see. And so they had fished all the night long, and there they had taken nothing at all. But notice the great faith that is exhibited in Simon. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I will do what you tell me. Now that's a great attitude on the part of Simon Peter. Because Jesus said to do it, I am willing to do exactly as you told me to do. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now notice the reaction of Simon Peter. Here he had seen something that he had never seen. So great a catch of fish. So great a catch that their nets start breaking. They beckon to their partners, come over and help us. And they grab those nets and they pull. And in the midst of all of this, as they get so great a catch of fishes, Simon Peter looks at Jesus and he says, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. In the presence of Jesus, Simon realizes, I'm not the man that I should be. I am a sinner. Now look at us today. In all of our lives, we try to look and we try to say, look how good I am. Look how perfect I am. Some people say, I am morally right. I don't cheat. I'm honest. Therefore, through my moral integrity, I can save myself. There's no doubt about it. Peter was a hard-working man, a man of moral integrity. But as he saw Jesus, he realized, I am a sinner. That right there is the beginning, doing God's will. Realizing, I'm not what I should be. I need to do God's will. Now notice what the Lord says to him. Simon Peter, astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now right there is one of the great stories, a beautiful story from the fifth chapter of the book of Luke. Here they thought, we'll just cast out a little while. Jesus told them, go out into the deep. They did what Jesus told them to do. They were blessed. Blessed beyond their greatest imagination. They brought to their ships this great catch of fish. Jesus said to them, You follow after me, and you're going to be fishers of men. And notice their reaction to this. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They gave up everything. Their ships, the catch, their jobs. Their one desire was to follow after Jesus. They put Jesus first and foremost in their lives. They gave their best to Jesus. Now look at us today. Our purpose and our dedication has not changed. The reason that our church is not growing and bubbling over and we're worrying about putting seats out is because we have lost our purpose and our occupation of being fishers of men, of bringing men and women to Christ. Our purpose today is to still be fishers of men. Now, the next thing that I want to show you from the Word of God in a study of Simon Peter is that we must continue, each one of us, in keeping our eyes upon Jesus. Turn in your Bibles now to the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew. And as we look at this great chapter, I want to show you here one of the great examples. It's a miracle in every sense. Here, as we have pointed out just from the previous passage, Simon Peter was a fisherman. He had been upon the waters. He must have known those waters like any other merchant or any other fisherman. And now, to the 22nd verse of Matthew chapter 14. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus said unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Simon Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now let's pause right there at that point in the scripture reading. The hour of the night is from 3 in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning. Here they had started across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had gone up, as he did so many times, up into the mountain to pray to God. He talked with God so many times in scenes just like this. Closeness to God. I like what James says about that. "Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you." The closeness, that close relationship. And then Jesus starts catching up with those who had gone in the ships. He starts walking on the water. They look out and see this figure on the water, and they think it's a ghost, and they are afraid. Jesus speaks to them, "Be not afraid. It is I." And Simon Peter, being that one who speaks out, he says, "If it is you, bid me come to you." And Jesus speaks forth the word, "Come." Now, can you just imagine how Simon Peter walked out of that ship, getting out of that ship and walking down on that water? But notice what he does. Simon Peter puts his feet upon that water, and he puts his eyes upon Jesus. He starts walking upon that water, but the winds start blowing around him. And as he takes his eyes off of Jesus, he starts to sink down into the water. And he's fearful for his life. He says, "Lord, save me." Now look at us today. Let's draw a parallel for us today. all of us who are Christians must keep our eyes upon Jesus. The reason people become unfaithful today to the cause of Christ, they take their eyes off of Jesus and they start sinking in the sea of life because they fail to keep their minds upon Jesus and upon doing His will. Now look what else is said here. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him up and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now notice how this night was changed around. From being a night of fear, it became a night of worship. They, in the midst of that sea, worshiped God. And they said, Of a truth, we know that thou art the Son of God. Now, before our time is over this morning, I want to show you one more great example of Simon Peter. And let's go now to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. In this great example in the life of Simon Peter, we're going to go to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus has some questions upon his mind. And Jesus is asking his disciples here at this occasion, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, catch up with me in the 14th verse. And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. As Jesus walked along with his disciples, he started asking them, here it is in the second year of his ministry, Who are the people saying that I am? And as the people had talked about Jesus, who he was, some were saying, He's the weeping prophet, Jeremiah, or He's that great prophet, Elijah, that's come back upon the earth. Some even thought that he was John the Baptist, who had recently been killed and brought back to life. And others just thought, just like Josephus, that he was one of the prophets, truly was a prophet, but not the Messiah, not the Son of God. And that's so tragic that the Jewish race did not accept the Christ, the Messiah. They only passed him by. And today, they still wait for that Messiah. But he's already here and come and is coming back for us. Then there was a very personal question that was directed. Notice this question that rings out from Jesus. But whom say ye that I am? Now here, these who walk with him, those who have been so closely associated with him over the years, he said, Whom say ye that I am? Now notice here, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now notice this great confession here that stands head and shoulders about what Simon Peter said. Simon Peter, being very frank, very bold, speaks out, and he says, Thou art the anointed one of God, the Son of the living God. You're the Christ. Whenever we think of the sweetest thing, the greatest thing that we ever can say today, the sweetest words that can ever pass through our lips, the greatest faith that can ever be in our hearts, is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the very backbone, the very heart of our faith, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus says to him, "You're blessed in this. This didn't come by flesh and blood, by man's reasoning, but it came through the inspiration of Almighty God. Simon, you're the son of Jonah." He says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, I know some people think right here at this passage that the church was built upon Peter. But now, let me just read it to you as it would be from the Greek, and you can see the difference there easily. Jesus said, "I say unto thee that thou art Petros, and upon this Petra I will build my church." Now, here's the difference. Whenever you look at that Greek word Petros, it's a masculine word. As a masculine word, it means thou art a rock. But upon this Petra, feminine, a solid bedrock, a solid foundation stone, I will build my church. The church of Christ is built upon the solid foundation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Peter would be a part of loosing and a binding, of setting the rules, what would be as a part of that church. Well, tonight, I want to continue the study, and I want to invite this audience tonight to be back with us. We're just halfway through this study. I have spent, I would imagine, about 30 hours upon this one study, and you're just going to get half your money's worth if you miss tonight. Let me urge you especially to come back tonight and to study with us all about Simon Peter. Let me show my appreciation and express my appreciation to you for listening so attentively. The greatest blessing, the greatest joy that I have is seeing people obey the gospel. And the second greatest joy is having people listen to the gospel. You've listened so well this morning, and I appreciate that from the very bottom of my heart. It is my privilege this morning to extend to you the invitation of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. As you think about this invitation this morning, I don't want you to pass it up. I don't want you to think about it slightly, but I want you to think soberly, because heaven and earth is dependent upon your reaction to this invitation. You may reject it, or you may accept it. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, died upon the cross for our sins. He died that we might believe that He is the Son of God. We must repent of our sins. We must make confession before men. We must be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of our sins. And we must be faithful to the cause of Christ throughout our days upon the earth. Won't you accept the invitation of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ?